Hello and welcome to the podcast edition of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, reviews, previews, and interviews with authors and artists about baseball books, music, film, pretty much anything you can fit on a bookshelf. And that's the slogan, if it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. As of the end of the 2013 season, Jewish athletes had accounted for about 170 of nearly 19,000 major leaguers. So you wouldn't expect the new Chasing Dreams, Baseball and Becoming American exhibit at the National Museum of American Jewish History in Philadelphia to have the breadth of material one would see in Cooperstown. Nevertheless, to paraphrase a famous line from the Tracy Hepburn vehicle Pat and Mike, what's there is choice, including artifacts from the mid-19th century, newspaper clippings, trophies, cards, uniforms, and interactive areas. So much goes into the planning of exhibits, acquiring the materials, designing the space, and placing the items in a manner that is educationally and aesthetically pleasing. That's the job of the curators, and in this case, our guest Josh Perelman, who, with Ivy Weingram, put together Chasing Dreams, which in fact does not just focus on the contribution and inclusion of Jews to the national pastime, but all minorities who have added to the history of the game in ways both big and small. There's also a companion book that shares its title with the exhibit, which Perelman edited. As he describes in our conversation, putting together this wonderful combination of illustrations and contributions from such writers as Philip Roth, Bernard Malamud, Eric Rolf Greenberg, Daniel Okrent, Doris Kearns Goodwin, and many others is similar to curating in terms of organization and placement. Josh Perelman, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So you're the curator for the new Chasing Dreams exhibit at the National Museum of American Jewish History in Philadelphia. Exactly what does that entail?
So, actually, I co-curated this with a member of my staff, Ivy Weingram, and what we did together is initially conceptualize an idea, and you work through that idea and develop, you know, a community of advisors to help you really flesh it out. And then at the same time, you start to bring in a bunch of folks who will help you concretize that idea. And so that's about working with a designer. It's about working with media production folks. And it's also about working with collectors and collecting institutions to cultivate the material culture necessary to tell your story. Yeah.
So how long was this in the planning stages?
So we planned this. This exhibition took about 2 years to plan, and it involved a variety of stages, and one of the things that was really useful as a tool for planning is we applied for a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, and in order to apply for those grants, you need to have a really strong sense of your exhibition and your exhibition concept. So in preparation for that, it really helped us advance the development of the exhibition itself, and we were very fortunate to be awarded quite a significant support by the NEH for the exhibition.
As a curator, are you responsible for the physical placement of the items in the exhibit?
We are. We work with our registration staff who takes care of facilitating loans and the care and preservation of the artifacts themselves. But in terms of choosing where they go in the exhibition, how they are organized in the exhibition cases, and how they are interpreted through exhibition text, that is the central role of the curator.
So what was your planning like in that? How did you decide what goes where?
Well, You know, on the subject of Jews in baseball, there's plenty of people who will happily tell us how we should do what we should do. You know, everybody's got an opinion.
At least one.
Yeah, at least one. But we were number one, we were fortunate to have a magnificent advisory committee who not only educated us and kept us honest, but really supported the decisions that we were making in terms of the story we wanted to tell. And for me, the story we wanted to tell is kind of the critical component of the project. Once you have your kind of narrative, which is to say, like a movie or a good book or, you know, a great song, once you know the arc of the story, then you're able to start to think about how the material culture, the participatory experiences, and any interactive media work together to support that storyline.
Now, when it comes to deciding what goes where, is it a chronological thing? Was it? How was it decided?
Right. So the organization of the exhibition, actually, in this particular show, we actually were aiming to moderate a little bit between chronology and the thematic, or let me put it this, to be more clear, in Chasing Dreams, you know, we worked hard to moderate between the core themes of the exhibition and also a chronology. You know, visitors to museums, you know, often are visitors to history museums are generally helped by a chronological organization. That gives them a sense of context and understanding for how events happen and why one event may influence the next. On the other hand, you know, a museum like ours, and I think most museums, you know, we're not a march of time. And so we also want to think about how we organize content so that different themes are clarified and can be understood by the visitor. So in Chasing Dreams, our three primary themes were the way baseball has been a venue for shaping identity, overcoming adversity, and a gatherer for family and communities. And so, you know, we sought to build a bridge between those three primary themes and the historical chronology of baseball itself.
And you mentioned donations before. How did you acquire these items?
So most of the objects in the exhibition are on loan to us. I wish our collection was deep and rich in baseball history. And although we had some very nice Jewish baseball artifacts, really where it begins is going out and doing a significant amount of outreach. Baseball, we are very lucky that, you know, there are so many passionate collectors of baseball memorabilia. And so through our advisors and through Major League Baseball and through some of our own outreach, we were able to really develop some very special relationships with collectors large and small throughout the United States. Another thing we also did is in commemoration of last year's opening day, we actually rolled out a Tumblr site, which is like a blog, and did a call to the general community, asking everyday folks, you know, what are your baseball memories? What kind of objects do you maybe have in your own home? And what great stories do you have to tell? And that website, that blog, really bore fruit. We found some amazing gems that actually made it into the exhibition. And so it's, you know, it's about having the time to go out and really form relationships with individuals, with collectors, and with institutions, and bringing them into the fold, getting them excited about the project, and then identifying the key items in their collections that help you tell your story.
Now, one of the things that strikes me a little strange, for lack of a better word, the title of the exhibit, Chasing Dreams, Baseball, and Becoming American, there's no Jewish in that.
Well, there's plenty. Well, in some sense, there's plenty of Jewish in that,
which
is to say that the story of American Jewish life has been, a journey to becoming American. That said, one of the things that was really important for us in this exhibition was to contextualize that kind of Jewish experience of. Finding their way into the American mainstream with the experiences of other minority communities, and baseball provides an amazing venue for that. Baseball has generally been a rather open or a sport that's been rather open to the participation of a variety of minority communities. Except for the period of segregation in which skin color prevented both African Americans and also dark-skinned Caribbean or Latino players from participation in the league. That too is part of the American Jewish story, and that too is part of the history of baseball, and that too is part of the story of our pluralistic nation.
Do you have a favorite item that's on display in the exhibit?
Oh, you're asking me, which of my children is my favorite?
Yeah, exactly.
I will say that I have a few favorite items. We are really privileged to be able to display some remarkable artifacts from true game changers in this exhibition. And so, to be able to have on view Hank Greenberg's MVP award from 1935, to be able to have an opening day ticket stub from Ebbets Field from 1947, or Jackie Robinson's uniform coat lent to us by Rachel Robinson, to have the cap Sandy Koufax wore when he pitched a no-hitter here in Philadelphia, his Cy Young Award from 1963. Those to me are just, marquee items. But I also really enjoy the fact that we have a bunch of everyday artifacts and objects in the exhibition. Objects like Esther Schimmel's coat that she wore when she ran a hot dog stand in the parking lot of St. Louis's Stadium in the 1950s and 60s. That to me, is as much as an iconic. That to me is as iconic to baseball as Roberto Clemente's jersey from his rookie year. So all of those things work together in concert to tell a really incredible story.
I think one of my favorite items in the exhibit is the Omer counting baseball bat.
So that is I'm glad you bring that up. That is an incredibly unique and incredibly fantastic item. For folks who actually can't see it, we have an Omer counter from Louisville, Kentucky, that a congregation lent us. Louisville, of course, is the home to, Louisville Slugger bats. And they put together an Omer counter made of baseball bats with a glove as the holder for the number of the date of the Omer. And each number, so let's say number one, they also have little cards that tell every Jewish baseball player whoever wore that number. So in terms of religious folk art that embraces baseball, there's nothing better. And just, you know, if there are any listeners who don't know what an Omer counter is, an Omer counter counts the days between Passover, the celebration of Jews' exodus from Egypt, and Shavuot, the commemoration of the receiving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. And Omer counters have a very long history of being fine art pieces. This is a fantastic example of folk art.
Turning to the companion book that you've produced, it's a wonderful anthology. Is editing a book like this similar to curating an exhibit, you know, picking out what to include and where to put it?
It is similar in many ways. Like the exhibition, I chose to organize the book around the core themes that influenced how we curated the show. But it's about identifying key writers, key pieces of literature, key voices who help us explore, learn, and understand those things in a richer and more nuanced way. And, you know, I will say that we were just incredibly lucky to have, you know, the best of the best writing for us in this volume. I worked with some incredible people, and they taught me quite a bit about baseball and baseball history.
Notwithstanding some of the excerpts from writers who have left us, like Bernard Malamud and Chaim Potok and Shirley Povich, were some of the essays written specifically for this volume, or did they all appear elsewhere at one point?
Most of the essays were written specifically for the volume. We invited a whole bunch of folks to author pieces. So, you know, Ira Berkow, the Pulitzer Prize-winning New York Times reporter, John Thorne, the official historian of Major League Baseball, Doug Glanville, you know, a former Philly player and now a correspondent for the New York Times and ESPN, as long with a host of other, you know, incredible scholars and personal stories, you know, reflections from Marty Appel, who now does PR individually, but used to work in the PR department for the New York Yankees, or Justine Siegel, the first woman to pitch to Major League Baseball batting practice, writing about her experience. It's really a remarkable opportunity, creating a book like this, to expand on an exhibition and invite a multiplicity of voices to reflect on the exhibition's core themes.
Now, the exhibit, I believe I'm correct in saying that it runs through the end of the regular baseball season?
Right. Appropriately, the exhibition does run until the end of baseball season, and we'd love for folks to join us. People can learn about visiting the museum at our website for the exhibition, chasingdreams.nmajh.org, and they can also learn about the really fantastic schedule of programs that accompany the exhibition.
Now, I'm looking at that pamphlet right now. Could you tell us about some of the highlights of these programs?
Oh, certainly. So coming up actually very soon, later this March, we have Old Jews Talking Baseball. So that's John Thorne, the official historian of Major League Baseball, in conversation with Daniel Okrent, who early in his career was a fantastic sports writer and wrote that great book, Nine Innings. Kim Ng, one of the highest-ranking women in Major League Baseball, will be joining us for our Dreamers and Doers series. We'll be producing an amazing series of films throughout the summer, and on come Father's Day, we'll have a fantastic celebration for the entire Philadelphia community out on Independence Mall. So, you know, lively opportunities, rich voices, and, fun programs for people to learn more about baseball and also enjoy an evening at the museum.
And having seen the museum and seen the exhibition, I can say it's a wonderful source for entertainment and information for any baseball fan, not just Jewish baseball fans, and I wish you great luck with that. Josh Perelman, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ron.
And that does it for another podcast edition of the Baseball Bookshelf. Tune in again next time when our guest will be Jonathan Eig, author of Luckiest Man, The Life and Death of Lou Gehrig, and Opening Day, The Story of Jackie Robinson's First Season. Both of these books are included in 501 Baseball Books Fans Must Read Before They Die, available through Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, and hopefully your local book dealer. And remember to visit Ron Kaplan's BaseballBookshelf.com regularly. Remember, we have a new bookshelf book giveaway every week. Just leave your comment if you're the fifth person to comment on any topic, not just the book that's up for giveaway. You have a chance to win. So thanks again, everybody, and talk to you soon.